ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The Saints with a famous win here at the MCG as they go to work in the second half and prevail by 15 points over the Magpies, who are stuck in a premiership defence and start the season 0 wins and 3 losses for the first time in 25 years.
The defending premiers are 0-3 with greats of the game questioning their physicality and commitment. So what's the cure for a premiership hangover and how quickly can the Pies locate it? Another Nathan Cleary masterclass lit up Panthers Stadium last night and rubbing salt into the very fresh wounds for the Bronx. Reece Walsh's scan results are in and it's not good news for the star fullback. We'll look ahead to the biggest clashes from both codes right across the weekend and check in with the Socceroos' second round of World Cup qualifying as Arnie and the side tested out a new strike pairing up front. I'm Niamh Owens and this is ABC Sport Daily. Matt Clinch is an AFL commentator for the ABC, and Clinchy, the reigning premiers are 0-3 to start the season. It's not all that uncommon in recent times, but Geelong couldn't recover from it last season. They missed the finals. What's your take? Is the premiership hangover real?
Yeah, it feels that way, Niamh. Only the fifth side to start a season 0-3 after winning the premiership. You're right, it was Geelong last year. But previously to that, we'll go back to the 1970s for the last side, North Melbourne, to do so. It's probably not impossible for Collingwood to recover, but it's the style of football in which they're playing. The fumbles, the lack of confidence, the uncharacteristic mistakes.
King's the deepest forward, kicks towards him, side bottom in from the side, spoiling it straight to Higgins, who dribbles through another goal for the Saints.
They just don't look the same force in which they were last season. So I think there's a fair bit of work for Craig McRae to do. He said to the Collingwood fans to stay true, keep believing, we'll turn it around eventually. I think it's the eventually part that people are worried about. Will the season be gone before Collingwood can get their best form back and going?
Yeah, and I look at our fans and we apologise. We, you know, this is a night to celebrate and we apologise we didn't deliver on that, but it's a long season.
They do play a number of games at the MCG, so that's in their favour, but they look a shell of the side in which they were last year.
Some pundits overnight and former greats of the game have questioned both their physicality and their commitment, and that always feels like a couple of words that would really hit hard for players.
Yeah, and it's their senior players who are making these mistakes. So the captain, Darcy Moore, conceded a goal last night, had a howler of a moment.
Drives it inside 50, looking towards Owens, but Darcy Moore in from the side. The Collingwood captain takes the mark, missed his teammate. Markoff with the hand pass and Brad Hill's onto it. Swings onto his right-hand side and the Saints are in front.
Still side bottom, one of their most experienced players alongside Scott Pendlebury, who is nudging towards 400 games but doesn't look like he's at the peak of his powers at the moment. So it's just those mistakes that I think Collingwood fans are not used to seeing, and the fact that they look like a side who's still trying to find their best footy. After a pre-season, we know you start a few weeks later when you are the reigning premiers, but it does just remind you that the rest of the competition improves. They spent a lot of the off-season preparing as to how to beat you. And now the challenge for Collingwood is they have to get better. Otherwise, they will get left behind or they will find themselves in a similar position to Geelong last year that they won't make the finals and they'll be too far back.
What about the Swans and the Bombers, Clinchy? They've had some epic contests in the last few years. Their last couple have been decided by less than 10 points. The Swannies are looking good. But what will Saturday night tell us about the Bombers?
Yeah, I think for Sydney, I mean, they couldn't have started the season any better. They've had two very impressive wins and really they've shown that they've got the depth in their side with Brodie Grundy arriving. And despite some injuries with Callum Mills and Taylor Adams has been out, they've got the depth to cover those players. And it's been since the retirement of Lance Franklin that their forward line has been able to fire. So I think from a Sydney point of view, it's ticks all round. From an Essendon side of things, you want to see the improvement. They haven't had as much hype heading into this off-season as what we've seen in recent years. But then the finals record, everyone knows that they haven't featured in September for such a long time. So Brad Scott has worked a lot on their fitness in the off-season. The shining light of that was Archie Perkins in the midfield last week. So really interesting test for the Bombers. They get back in their number one ruckman in Sam Draper and their midfielder in Darcy Parrish. So a really good test. Can't wait to see how the Bombers go against Sydney at home.
Damien Hardwick has the Gold Coast Suns flying. They're 2-2 so far. Not a bad start to his move north. They take on the Western Bulldogs, who looked a little lost, Clinchy, against the Demons last week. How does this one play out on Sunday afternoon in Ballarat?
Yeah, the perfect start for Damien Hardwick in his coaching tenure at the Gold Coast Suns. Now they get to put it on the road and see if they can continue with that form. They also bring in the number 3 draft pick, Jed Walter. So looking forward to seeing how he goes on the road. But you're right, the Gold Coast Suns have everything to play for to try and prove they've made that improvement in the off-season.
And the new era at Gold Coast under Damien Hardwick begins with a victory over Richmond.
For the Western Bulldogs, it was an underwhelming start to their season against Melbourne. It wasn't just the fact that they lost, it was the manner in which they played. It was hard to really see any improvement from last season to this season. This is a talented group who should be competing at the pointy end of the ladder. But despite that, their efficiency inside 50, their midfield looked a little bit same. They bring back in Sam Darcy to complement their forward line. But for me, it's going to be interesting to see how they play. They've had a good record in Ballarat, so this is a great chance for Luke Beveridge to get his side off to a winning start.
Matt Clinch, enjoy the footy this weekend.
Thanks, Neve.
You can catch Clinchy and the team calling the action right across the weekend. Just look for that AFL button on your ABC Listen app. Let's have a quick look at last night's Socceroos game as well. Their winning start to the second round of World Cup qualifying continued last night. They got a 2-0 win over Lebanon in Sydney. Graham Arnold set up in a 4-4-2, changing things up a bit to combat what was expected to be a low block from Lebanon. He gave Cassini Yenge and Adam Taggart the opportunity to start up front. And the home side had a goal inside 5 minutes. It did, though, come from quite a surprising source.
Keanu Backus, not sure he intended that. He went chasing the ball out to that right-hand touchline, whipped it through into the middle. And that shouldn't have found its way to the back of the net, but it did, and Australia won't care. They're leading by a goal to nil.
A cross gone wrong or oh so right?
I'll take it. Regardless regardless of the answer, I'll take it. My first one, so at least I went in clean, no deflections, so I'll take it.
Kai Rolls shifted from the centre of defence to the left edge, and he may well find himself playing there again on Tuesday night. He had a debut international goal and a player of the match performance.
Hangs it high, Suter stoops it towards him, might yet drop, it's been hammered towards the goal, it's taken a deflection and gone in, and it's Kai Rolls who's running away and celebrating.
Lebanon threw a whole heap at the Socceroos in the second half. The Aussies struggled to create clear-cut chances. They gave the ball away cheaply at times. Graham Arnold is going to have to make changes for Tuesday's qualifier after injuries to both Riley McGree and Geordie Boss in the first half. But ultimately, with 3 wins from 3 games, the Socceroos are in a really good position at the halfway point of this round of World Cup qualifying. And Ned Hall and the team will call that Socceroos game for you on Tuesday night in Canberra. You'll be able to find them on the ABC Listen app. Let's move to NRL now, because the Panthers looked scary good at times last night, and injuries added salt to the wounds for Brisbane. Zach Bailey is with Channel 9. Zach, let's start with that head clash. Youch.
Referee Jared Sutton rules time off. Concerned about a head injury to Reece Walsh. I can tell you this, Matthew, it's a nasty cut.
Scans confirmed this morning that it is a facial fracture for Reece Walsh. Not good news at all for both Reece and the Bronx. Early days, but any idea how long that could keep him out?
Well, Neve, yeah, it is a huge blow, considering they're also missing Adam Reynolds, probably for next week as well, and then Payne Huss, who has undergone knee surgery as well, and he's going to be missing for the next 4 to 6 weeks, and he's arguably the best prop in the game. So add Reece Walsh's injury on top of that. We don't know for sure how long he'll be sidelined for. All the talk was he didn't have a facial fracture, so it was all positive. But then late last night, he went in, he got more scans. It has revealed a fracture. He's currently on a bus back to Brisbane. He can't fly due to the injury. He'll see a specialist in Brisbane and they will determine how long he's out for. But it could be 4-6 weeks, which again is a huge blow for Brisbane as they try to right the wrongs of last year's grand final loss.
I reckon that bus ride north is going to feel like a very, very long one. What about Taylan May? He was put on report for the hit. How did you see it?
Well, it's a really interesting one. I guess a couple of years ago, it would have just been maybe a lazy attempt at a tackle, play the ball or play on, and that's the end of the story. Obviously, on field, there was a penalty and on report.
Taylan May is being called out. This will end up being a penalty to Brisbane.
I understand that, but you haven't bent into the tackle. You've got a duty to bend to avoid contact.
The good news for Taylan is the fact that he has not been charged by the match review committee. I thought he might get a fine, but he's been cleared, which is big news for the Panthers. Taylan May's been in red hot form since he's moved to the centres. He's got 12 stitches under his chin as well, so he didn't come out unscathed either.
Outside of that, the first half became the Nathan Cleary show, and it's a show that we are familiar with over recent seasons. Are the Premiers starting to find their feet?
Yeah, they certainly are. I know Andrew Johns, he's an immortal and one of the greatest halfbacks to ever play the game. He said after the match that he thinks that was Nathan's best performance of his career.
Wow.
Which is hard to argue, but it's also you rack your brain and go, hang on a minute, there have been a fair few. I mean, the 20 minutes in the grand final was probably the best 20 minutes he's played last year. But in terms of some of the tries he set up and the way he controlled the game last night was just phenomenal.
Yo, out the back, Cleary. Dummies inside, goes himself. Then delivered a pass! That was one of the best I've ever seen! To Isaac Tungor!
But that performance last night, the Panthers really are the team to beat again this year.
Let's look at tonight's game, because clashes between the Roosters and the Rabbitohs are always spicy, but South's come in winless and they've dropped their halfback, Lachlan Ilias, after two games. Does this feel like it's actually a really big night for the Bunnies?
It's a huge night. Pressure cooker for the Bunnies. A lot of pressure on their coach, Jason Demetrio. A lot of focus on Latrell Mitchell, who's been in headlines over the past week or so after his comments last week after the Broncos match in Brisbane. There's so much on the line. As you said, it's the greatest rivalry in rugby league. These two arch rivals, two foundation clubs going head to head, and there is so much on the line. It might only be round three, but if the Bunnies go 0-3, the criticism and the pressure will only mount moving forward on the coach. A couple of key things. Cam Murray, the South Sydney captain, his 150th game, but on the other side, the Roosters will be motivated for a win given it's Jared Warira Hargrave's 300th match. And as a prop, not many of them do it, and he's been one of the best to do it.
What about Sunday afternoon? Seagulls up against the Eels. Seagulls have had a cracking start to the season. Zach, has Luke Brooks at last found an environment, a halves partnership, that gives him the opportunity to play his best footy?
Well, so far, so good for Luke Brooks. Alongside Daly Cherry-Evans, one thing he does do is he helps take the pressure off Daly Cherry-Evans, but he also gives Manly another point of attack, which takes the pressure off Tom Trbojevic. In the past, a lot of teams have aimed up on Daly Cherry-Evans. They've aimed up on Tom Trbojevic, and it's almost they're shutting down Manly's two biggest attacking threats. You throw Luke Brooks in there on the left edge, he can do things that take the focus away from the other players. And as you said, he's playing good footy, he's playing free footy, and he's doing it with a smile on his face. Even Parramatta players yesterday, Junior Bowlaw and Jermaine Hopgood, said, look, in terms of the overall story and given what Luke Brooks went through as the fall guy for all the failings of the Tigers over the last decade.
The way he started the year, you know, it's certainly been an exceptional start from Brooksy, and very happy for him to do so, but hopefully not this week. So,
tell you what, in terms of footy this weekend for round three, grand final rematch on Thursday night, the book of feuds in terms of the Roosters and Rabbitohs Friday night, into Sunday night, the rivalry between the Eels and the Seagulls. It's an absolute feast of footy.
Cracking weekend ahead. Zach Bailey, enjoy it.
Cannot wait. Thanks, Niamh.
Soundbites. It's Australian Grand Prix week, and while the actual Aussies, Dan Ricciardo and Oscar Piastri, have done lovely tributes to their home country on their helmets, it's adopted Australian Valtteri Bottas who gets our vote.
Australian Grand Prix 2024 helmet. I'm here for the sausage sizzle. Sausage, white bread, onion, tomato sauce. Snack sanger. Sausage sizzle. Gold coin donation. The great Aussie Foundation. I love a good Aussie sausage sizzle.
The man just gets it. While we're on F1, there's been a nasty crash at Albert Park already, with Alex Albon losing control on turn six.
This is six, turning right, and then gets a little bit, bounces off the curb. And the fact that the car is a bit wide, wider than certainly anyone would want to be, bang, left-hand side.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
The Williams team will have their work cut out for them ahead of the second practice session. In the fourth edition of Spud's game, mental health was put front and centre at the MCG last night.
Footy has always had the ability to bring people together. That's how most of us knew Spud. What a ripper he was. But right now isn't about football, it's about mental health. Two in five of us will experience mental ill health in our lifetime, and that's simply too many.
Spud's game started in 2021 to help start conversations around mental health and raise money for mental health programs after the death of former Saints captain Danny Frawley in 2019. If you or someone you know needs help, Lifeline is on 13 11 14. I'm Niamh Owens, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Paramount Plus, Valtteri Bottas's Instagram and Fox Sports for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.